Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Thank you, Soulshine Band and Diana. I love that. In a world full of darkness, be the light. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is how do we shine our light? That is the first step in living our truth unapologetically, because our truth is we are the light, and it's time we shined and shined brightly. I don't think there's ever been a time, at least in my memory, when the world has needed the light more than it does right this moment. And this is our opportunity to step up and be that light. So we're going to be exploring today several different ideas on how to do that and what it means to shine our light. The first step, though, is to recognize the light within us. We live in a world that has told us for too many years to be humble. Who are you to be the light? Only a few chosen ones are the light. No, we are all the light, and we have to recognize it within us. One of the challenges we have is so many of us have had times in our life by our conditioning and our culture of going through life searching for meaning, looking for something to complete us. It may be external achievements, relationships, material success, and we think these things will bring us fulfillment. But we found, I think if you're here in this room today or watching online, you are here because you've realized that doesn't work. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. I think about what it says in Genesis, the very beginning of the Christian scriptures. So actually, that's from the Hebrew scriptures. So God created humankind in its own image. In the image of itself, it created them. Not a he, it's not a man. It's principle, it's energy. And we are created in that divine perfection that the creator of the entire universe is. We are not separate from it. We are not separate from God's love. We are not separate from God's presence because we are, in fact, a channel of it, an expression of it. Myrtle Fillmore emphasized this when she said, "We are all God's children, including drag queens, so be here. We are his perfect expressions, and our light is ever present when we remember who we are." When we remember who we are. Yet despite this truth that has been written down for thousands of years, many people see their flaws, their mistakes, and their struggles, and they think, how can I be a light when I feel so broken? The problem isn't that we lack light. It's that we have forgotten we are light. Imagine this. Imagine you walk into a room and it's dark. Now you know there's a lamp on that table. It's got a bulb in it. It's got electricity ready for it. The potential for illumination exists, but we have to do what? Turn on the switch. Yes. And that is what we are here today to learn more, how to do more better. I was an English teacher. How to do better. How to flip that switch easier. How to remember it's there when we get distracted. And let me tell you, it's so easy to get distracted right now. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of worry all around us that can cloud our awareness of the truth. But Jesus reassures us. In John 8:12, he's quoted, "I am the light of the world, and whomsoever shall follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." Now, I'm going to tell you something. This was not an egocentric statement. This wasn't Jesus going, "Follow me because I'm the one." This was the I am speaking through Jesus, the voice of Spirit itself. That's what he did most of the time. He channeled God. And when he says, I am the light of the world, that's the light speaking through him. And it's calling to us to recognize that light within ourselves. But to do that, we have to shift our perception. Instead of looking at our limitations, we have to look at our divine potential. Instead of seeing ourselves as small, we must remember that we are infinite expressions of God and God's love. Now, there's an I'm going to be sharing some affirmations and reflection questions with you today, and they're in the app, if you have the app. So you can go back to them. You can sit with the reflection questions and think about them later. But the affirmation is, I am a radiant expression of God's light. Let's say that together. I am a radiant expression of God's light. I recognize the divine presence within me. Together. I recognize the divine presence within me. So when you're feeling like you're not feeling it, anybody ever have those days, those moments? I'm just not feeling it. Here's an affirmation you can use. I am a radiant expression of God's light. I recognize the divine presence within me, because it has to start with you first. We're going to get to others. Don't worry. So the next thing we have to do then is cultivate or empower that light, add energy to it. Once we recognize it, we have to nurture it. Just as fire needs fuel to keep burning, our spiritual light needs our attention and our care. How do we do that? Anybody know? Nobody knows. What? Thank you! Gold star for whoever said that. Oh, he's got the notes. He's cheating. But that is the truth. Think about Jesus. He would teach, he would heal, he would do the things he did, and then what? He would go apart. He would go someplace quiet, just himself and God. And he would meditate, and he would pray. He would seek renewal and reconnect, because it's easy, even for Jesus, it was easy to get distracted. In Mark, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. His example teaches us that cultivating our inner light requires a dedication to our spiritual growth. So how do we do that? Well, the first we've already mentioned, prayer and meditation. Prayer is how we align with divine truth. For more information, take Martine's class. It's not about asking for something we lack, but about affirming and remembering that God's presence lives in us. And then there's meditation. Meditation allows us to quiet the noise of the world so that we can hear the still, small voice of Spirit. Eric Butterworth talked about this when he wrote, "You do not have to pray for more light. You simply have to let it shine. You have all the light you will ever need. You are infinite light right now. We just have to get our humanness out of the way." So one of the ways we can do that is to let go of fear and negativity. Oh my gosh, that's a big one right now. Fear and worry can dim our light. And when we focus on it, when we focus on lack, when we focus on struggle, when we are in resentment, what are we doing? We're creating barriers between ourselves and divine love. And we can't hear the chimes of Spirit. Just as a dirty window blocks sunlight, negative thinking blocks our own radiance. I recall the words of Paul when he wrote, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." How many hours a day do we think about the opposite? Oh, look at what's going on in the world. Look at what they're doing over there in Washington. Look at what's happening over here. Instead of dwelling and putting our energy into what is praiseworthy, what is excellent. I love that line. Think about what is excellent. There's a lot of excellence coming around. It's growing even. And that's where we put in our energy. Now we know, and we can step up and do what we are called to do as individuals, but we put our spiritual energy into what is right and true and praiseworthy and excellent. When we shift our focus to gratitude, faith, and love, our light grows stronger. We can do it through acts of love and service. Love is the most powerful way to cultivate divine light. When we serve others, we are not just helping them. We are strengthening the presence of light in ourselves. Jesus spoke on this and demonstrated it powerfully when he washed the disciples' feet. He said, "Now that I, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done." It wasn't a one-time thing. He was saying, do this. Now, we don't have to physically wash each other's feet. Some of us might find that a little uncomfortable. But figuratively, feet represent understanding. Washing represents washing away that which is blocking us and helping others to do the same. We can find our own unique way of serving, of figuratively washing feet. Because every act of kindness, every word of encouragement, every moment of compassion expands the light within us. So here's an affirmation to help with that. I'll say it and then we'll say it together. I nurture my inner light. I nurture my inner light through prayer, love, and truth. Through prayer, love, and truth. Light is not meant to be hoarded. It is meant to be shared with the world. It is not meant to be hidden. It is meant to have that bushel taken off of it so that it can shine. What happens when you flip that switch on that light we talked about earlier? Instantly, the darkness is gone, isn't it? Well, that is what happens when we share our light with others. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven." Metaphysically, it's not about saying, "See me, look what I'm doing." It's about saying, "See what can happen when we shine our light." We shine or glorify that light that God is. And heaven always represents a higher consciousness, a higher understanding. It's a call. It's a call for us to be beacons of hope, beacons of love, and beacons of truth in the world. How? You can do it through something as simple as a smile. As simple as a smile, or a kind word, or a listening ear. We don't always need to do grand gestures. Sometimes the smallest acts of love make the greatest impact. And now we get to one of the biggies. One of the things we do to let our light shine. But it's probably one of the hardest things to do. And that is to live authentically. What does that really mean, to live authentically? Well, living authentically means embracing who we truly are as divine beings and expressing that truth in every aspect of our lives. Simple, right? Thank you, somebody's honest. It means aligning our thoughts, words, and actions with our spiritual identity instead of conforming to societal expectations or fear-based thinking or self-doubt. Yet living authentically, as we just discovered, is not always easy. Why? Because we struggle with that. What is my divine identity? How do I define myself? Do I define myself by what I do for a living? By my relationships? By my past mistakes? or how others perceive me? Is that how I identify myself? Is that how I live authentically? For most of us at some point in our lives, maybe right now, yes, because that's how we're conditioned. But in Galatians, Paul reminded us, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives with me. Now, he wasn't saying I've been physically crucified. He was saying my little self that doubts, that lives in fear, that says, oh, this can't be real. Who am I to be this? I crucify, I get rid of it, I cross it out so that my full Christ potential may be expressed. That's an ongoing work. I don't know about you, I haven't fully accomplished it yet. What it means is that our deepest truth is not found in temporary external labels or conditions, but in the divine presence that is within us. Emily Cady said, your only business in life is to express God. We are not here to accumulate things or to gain social status. We are here to be full, to be the glorious expression of the Christ within. So we have to first recognize then, we are not broken. We are not inadequate. We are not lacking. We are whole, worthy, and filled with divine potential. So here's your first reflection question. What would change in my life if I fully embraced the truth that I am a divine expression of God? Now, don't answer it right now. But think about it. What would change in your life if you would fully embrace the truth that you are a divine expression of God? Would you then speak and act from truth and not fear? Because once we recognize the truth of who we are, the next step in living authentically is expressing that truth in our daily lives. That means speaking with honesty and integrity, making decisions based on faith, not fear. That's a big one. Choosing love over approval seeking. Many people hide their true selves out of fear of rejection, out of fear of criticism, out of fear of standing out. But think about this. Buddha, Jesus, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, the list goes on and on and on. Not one of them ever lived for approval. They lived for truth. In John, it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When we live from our own spiritual truth, we find freedom. We no longer need to wear masks, unless there's a pandemic, but that's a physical thing. We no longer need to wear masks. We no longer pretend to be something we are not or choose validation from others. And here's an example of living authentically. Imagine that you have a deep spiritual calling. All of you have a spiritual calling. It may not be to be a minister, but whatever your heart calls you to do, that's your spiritual calling. And everyone has one. But if we hesitate to act on it because it doesn't fit what society expects of us, it's hidden under a bushel. It's not the truth of who we are. It's not authentic. Maybe you felt led to write, to teach, or to serve in a ministry. But fear of failure holds you back. You know, Michael's not with us today. He's on tour with the Gay Men's Chorus. But I think about him, and one of the reasons I support him so much, and I hope you are supporting him, is because he heard that calling. And he has those moments, just like even I still do once in a while, where I don't know if I can do this. But we push through those moments and we remember. We do not live in fear of failure. We step out in faith. Living authentically means trusting that God placed those desires in our hearts for a reason. It means stepping forward in faith, knowing that when we align with our divine truth, God provides the way. Here's another reflection question for you. Where in your life Have you been holding back your true self? Don't answer it out loud. This is for you. And what would it look like to step forward in authenticity? What would it look like to let go of those old ideas and old beliefs that have been holding you back and step into health, step into wholeness, step into power, step into teaching, step into music, step into whatever it is you're being called to step into? I may want to rephrase that at some point. Step into activism, whatever it is. What would it be like to let go of what is holding you back? Because the only thing holding you back is up here. And the next thing we got to do is let go of people pleasing. One of the biggest obstacles to authenticity is the need for approval. Many of us make decisions based on what we think will please others, rather than what aligns with our calling. Jesus modeled radical authenticity. He spoke truth even when it was unpopular. He associated with those whom society rejected. And he followed his divine purpose, even when it led to opposition. In Galatians, Paul echoed this when he wrote, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of the Christ." When we prioritize pleasing God over pleasing people, we live with greater peace, greater confidence, greater purpose. And when we stop second-guessing ourselves and start trusting that our authenticity is enough, we shine our light and we empower those around us to do the same. So here's some questions you can ask yourself to see, am I stuck in people-pleasing? Because we all get there. At least I have. Anybody else? Yeah, I'm not going to admit it. It's okay. Here's some signs. Do we say yes to things we don't want to do just to make others happy? I hear honesty out there. Do we hide our true thoughts and feelings out of fear of judgment? Do we change our behavior depending on who we're around? Do we feel exhausted trying to meet everyone's expectations? Yes, we do. We all do it. Let's be honest. Well, here's some steps we can use to overcome this. Practice saying no when something doesn't align with your truth. I tell people all the time, no is a sentence. All by itself, it's a sentence. Remind yourself that your worth is not based on others' opinions. Make decisions based on faith and inner guidance rather than external pressure. And surround yourself with people who encourage and support your true self. That's why we come together at Unity, because we are surrounded by people who support each other and encourage each other. All right, here's another reflection question. In what areas of my life have I prioritized approval over authenticity? And what small step can I take today to break free? Authenticity is not about being perfect. It's about being you, your true self. I love this saying. I don't know where it originally came from, but Jesus did not call perfect people. He called real people, people who were flawed, people who were struggling, ordinary people, because God's power shines through our imperfections. It shines through our growth. It shines through our example. It shines through our strength and our courage to do it even when we don't think we can or all the world is telling us we can't. Our worth is not based on external perfection, but on our divine essence. So living authentically means that our actions reflect our highest truth. We recognize that we are divine beings, and then we naturally desire to live in that in alignment with that. So how do we align with our true purpose then? We spend time in prayer. We ask questions like, does this decision align with my highest self? We follow our inner guidance, even when it may feel scary or uncertain. And we let go of that which no longer serves us. Emily Cady wrote, there is nothing in all the universe that can stand between you and your highest good except your own thoughts. And you can control your own thoughts. Remember that. You control your own thoughts. So here's a final affirmation. There's more in your notes if you're following in the notes. But here's a final affirmation. I am fearlessly authentic. Now let's say it like we're fearlessly authentic. I am fearlessly authentic. I express my divine truth with love and courage. Emily Cady said, every loving thought, every unselfish action, every time you hold a vision of truth, you are shining the light of spirit. So instead of complaining about darkness, we have to be the light. So in conclusion, let's review our takeaways. One, we recognize the light within. We remember we are already divine beings. Two, we cultivate the life through prayer, love, and letting go of fear. And three, we share the light through kindness and authenticity, and holding that higher vision. And when we do that, we empower and show the way for others to do the same. Think about what Isaiah wrote. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord arises upon you. You are the light. Now go forth and shine.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.